Blog Talk Radio.
Trumpet in Zion, and sound an alarm in the holy mountain. Let all the inhabitants of the land tremble, for the day of the Lord cometh, for it is nigh at hand. Today, the Spirit of the living God is sounding an alarm to ministry leaders. God is asking you to set yourselves apart and seek His face diligently. When an alarm is sounded in the natural, it goes forth as a loud sound, alerting all those around them to pay attention to what they are hearing. God is making this request today. In the spirit, Lord is sounding the alarm and calling forth leaders in an urgent request to seek His face. The Bible tells us to seek the Lord and call upon His name while He is yet still near. Isaiah 55, verse 6 says, "Seek ye the Lord while He may be found. Call ye upon Him while He is near." Welcome to another episode of the House of Christ Ministries Presents, Proclaiming Jesus Christ Throughout the World by Honoring the Great Commission. I'm your host, Reverend Donald Davis, coming to you from Elmont, New York. We will be on the air every Wednesday and Sundays at 8:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. We will not be taking any calls, but if you have questions, please email us at hodminister@gmail.com. Or you could write to us at House of Christ Ministries, Inc., P.O. Box 30371, Elmont, New York, 11003. Father, let me be open and receptive to all You have for me. I want to reach out and connect with others throughout the world. I want more and more people to be saved, set free, and healed. Thank You for Your Son, Jesus Christ, whose sacrifice allows us to appropriate His mind, heart, and wisdom. Let me be sensitive to the Holy Spirit and respond each and every time You want me to pray for healing, both for others and for myself. In Jesus' name, amen. Financial support to raise funds to assist their efforts. Food for the Poor is helping the poorest of poor in 17 Latin American and Caribbean countries, including Jamaica. There are no easy fix when it comes to poverty. Your donation will help to alleviate some of the pressing issues facing the poor. I pray that you'll find it in your hearts to give. You can visit us at www.foodforthepoor.org foodforthepoor.org /Christ Ministries. All donations will be appreciated. All donations are tax deductible. Under Internal Revenue Code, Section 501(c)(3). If you prefer to mail a check, please make it payable to Food for the Poor, Inc., and it should be mailed to 6401 Lyons Road, Coconut Creek, Florida, 33073. Please write on the check's memo line, SC80192, to ensure proper tracking. God bless you, and I pray that you'll find it in your hearts to make a donation to a worthy cause. You can also visit our social Christian network at www.myhocm.ning.com, our online bookstore at www.houseofchristbookstore.com, our online Bible Institute at www.houseofchristbibleinstitute.org. You can also visit our Bible College at www.houseofchristbiblecollege.org. You can also visit our affiliated school of ministry, House of David Ministries, Inc., and the Tony Owens Ministry at www.riversofrevival.com. And once again, you can visit us at www.foodforthepoor.org/Christ Ministries to make a donation. Apostolic Ministry that shares the gospel of Jesus Christ through a variety of media, from our radio broadcast every Sunday and Wednesdays, proclaiming Jesus Christ throughout the world and honoring the Great Commission at 8:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, our monthly mailing lessons, our social Christian network, our online Bible Institute and Bible College, our posting of words of the day on numerous websites. We are reaching hundreds throughout the world for Jesus Christ. It is our desire to take the uncompromised and anointed Word of God to the whole world, starting with our local community, bringing lost souls to a practical relationship with Jesus Christ. Our mission at House of Christ Ministries is to proclaim Jesus Christ throughout the world and prepare believers and non-believers how to live independently and have dominion to reign over the enemies of this world. We encourage you to sow into this ministry for the furtherance of the gospel of Jesus Christ and winning souls for the kingdom. Your prayer and financial support are important components to bringing the gospel to the world. Together, we can make a difference. If you would like to send your prayer request or share a testimony or make a donation or love offering, please contact us at House of Christ Ministries, Inc., P.O. Box 30371, Helmont, New York, 11003. Or you could email us at hodminister@gmail.com. All donations are tax deductible under Internal Revenue Code, Section 501c3. As we continue on this spiritual journey, I would like to share our statement of faith with you. We believe the Bible to be the inspired and only infallible Word of God. We believe that there is one God, eternally existent in three persons, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. We believe in the blessed hope, which is the rapture of the Church of God, which is in Christ at his return. We believe that the only means of being cleansed from sin is through repentance, faith in the precious blood of Jesus Christ, and being baptized in water. We believe that regeneration by the Holy Ghost is absolutely essential for personal salvation. We believe that the redemptive work of Jesus Christ on the cross provides healing for the human body in answer to believing prayer. We believe that the baptism in the Holy Spirit, according to Acts chapter 2, verse 4, is given to believers who ask for it. We believe in the sanctifying power of the Holy Spirit, by whose indwelling the Christian is enabled to live a holy and separated life in this present world. We believe in the Great Commission, according to Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 through 20, and Mark chapter 16, verses 15 through 18. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. And he said unto them, Go ye into all the world, and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils, they shall speak with new tongues, they shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. Acts chapter 1, verses 6 through 8 says, When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? And he said unto them, It is not for you to know the times or the seasons, which the Father hath put in his own power. But ye shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, and in all Judea, and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth. Beloved, our authority is in Jesus Christ. All authority belongs to God. Few Christians will argue about God's ultimate authority. Those who believe in God's existence, his omniscience, his omnipresence, and his omnipotence know that their Creator is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Our Creator is the God of the Holy Bible. Not even the angels in heaven can refute or supersede God's ultimate authority over everyone and anything. Through Jesus Christ, God is the author and finisher of our faith. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Some believe that their lives are dependent on faith, genes, or the food they eat. Although some things do affect us, this mindset allows no place for God. A common practice is to depend on science and medical doctors, and they do have a God-given place. As Christians, we receive a new life, a new way of thinking, and a new way to walk in health. By accepting, believing, and walking in his wisdom and footsteps, we can live in divine health and minister healing to others. Think of one hand reaching up to connect to God's supernatural power, while the other hand reaches out to connect to the hurting, the sick, and the oppressed. We are simply the conduit between God and the person to whom we are ministering. Our primary responsibility, as given in the Great Commission, is to spread the good news. Some receive their salvation easily. What makes me, an average person, believe I can minister healing to others? Without Jesus Christ, I cannot do a thing. However, with his authority, we can see the sick recover. We can also cast out demons. We can set the captives free. Beloved, we are conduit of love directly from the Father to the world. Are you ready to participate in this incredible experience? Join us every Sunday and Wednesdays at 8:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, as we proclaim Jesus Christ throughout the world and honoring the Great Commission. members of the body of Jesus Christ with the tools necessary to function in the call of God on their lives. As believers, we are commissioned by the Lord to take the knowledge of Jesus Christ throughout the world. I pray that these teachings will be a blessing to you and will help you fulfill the Great Commission. You have been called to be a steward, a servant of God. God has called you to be His ambassador to the world. He has given you the ministry of delivering the message of God to the whole world, the message of reconciliation. No greater call could ever be issued. No higher position could ever be held. I encourage you to join us every Sunday and Wednesdays at 8:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time at www.blogtalkradio.com/Reverend Davis. These teachings, What Christians Believe, Who is Jesus Christ, Proof of the Living God Part 1, Our Father, Proof of the Living God Part 2, The Holy Spirit, Proof of the Living God Part 3, The Origin of Man, The Origin of Gods, Are There Many Ways or Only One Way to God? You will learn through these lessons what it really means to be a Christian, to be able to express to others who Jesus Christ is, to gain an understanding of the nature of God, the Trinity, how the religious or religions of the world come about. For more information and to receive copies of these teachings, which can be used in Bible study forums, write to us at House of Christ Ministries, Inc., P.O. Box 30371, Elmont, New York, 11003. Or you could email us at hodminister@gmail.com. God bless you as we continue on this spiritual journey. Continue on this spiritual journey, proclaiming Jesus Christ throughout the world and honoring the Great Commission. Our number one goal is Jesus Christ. Our mission is souls, and our vision is the last day's book of Acts. I encourage you to join us every Sunday and Wednesdays at 8:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Our lesson in a series, What Christians Believe. Ephesians 1, verse 17 through 19 says, "By the God of our Father, the God of Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of His calling, and what the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of power to usward who believe, according to the working of His mighty power." Amen. Our lesson for tonight is What Christians Believe. By no means is this an exhaustive list of every detail of what Christians believe. Rather, it is a teaching regarding some of the most asked about points in the Christian faith. Before I begin to detail what Christians believe, I will clarify what constitutes who is a Christian. For there are many that think that being a Christian is something that you are naturally born into, or something that automatically happens when you officially join a church. It is not because you use your gifts or talents for the Lord, such as singing in the choir, dance ministry, drama ministry, etc. Neither is it because someone gives tithes and offerings to the church. All of these viewpoints are in fact not true at all. Being a Christian is an individual decision. You cannot join in as if it were some club. Rather, it requires a spiritual rebirth to become one. John chapter 3, verses 1 through 8, gives us insight into being born again. It reads, "There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God. For no man can do these miracles that thou doest, except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of the water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, Ye must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh, and whither it goeth. So is every one that is born of the Spirit. This spiritual rebirth is a direct result of salvation through Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world. Christians are people who have put their faith in God's love gift to the world, Jesus Christ. They trust that Jesus Christ came to the world a sinless man. Sin is passed from one's father to the children. Jesus had no earthly father, causing him to be sinless, for God Father is, was, and will always be his only father, and he is sinless. With the purpose to pay the penalty for all sin, to exchange his innocence for our guilt, freeing us individually from the penalty of sin, which is eternal damnation in hell, and then the lake of fire. They repent, turn away from doing them of their sin, ask God to forgive them for all their sins, and receive Jesus Christ as their Savior and Lord of their lives. In doing this, the Holy Spirit comes into them, causing them to be born of the Spirit, as John chapter 3, verses 5 and 6 speaks of causing them to become a new creation. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17 says, Therefore, if any man be in Christ, He is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. When someone becomes a true Christian, change happens from the inside out. They may look the same, yet that man or woman will act, speak, and respond and live differently. What do we believe about God? Our God is triune. God the Father, Jesus the Word, and the Holy Spirit are one. In 1 John chapter 5, verse 7, and John chapter 14, verses 9 and 10, supports this. If people get married and are one flesh, why can't there be a Trinity? Matthew chapter 19, verse 6, and Mark chapter 10, verse 8. There are not two or three gods, but one God in three distinct persons. Mark chapter 12, verse 29 says, and Jesus answered, first of all the commandments is, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. 1 John chapter 5, verse 7 speaks of the Trinity. It reads, for there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one. Beloved, I boldly declare that there is only one God with three distinct personalities, God the Father, God the Son, Jesus Christ the Word, and God the Holy Spirit. That is to say that God is three parts, yet one God. Just like you are made up of three parts, you are a spirit that has a soul that lives in a body. But yet you are one person. God is eternal, has no beginning or no end. He is omniscient, all-knowing, omnipresent, he's everywhere, omnipotent, all-powerful. His biblical name is Jehovah, meaning the existent one. Jesus Christ is God. He is eternal. He is the second person of the Trinity, the Word of God. He is God manifested in the flesh. Many people are afraid to say that, and many Christians are not sure, so they can't say it with confidence. Let us take a look at who the prophesied Messiah was going to be. Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6 says, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. It is important for us to understand that God is our Savior in the person of Jesus Christ. Isaiah chapter 45, verses 21 and 22 says, tell ye and bring them near. Yea, let them take counsel together. Who had declared this from ancient times? Who had told it from that time? Have not I the Lord? And there is no God else beside me, a just God and a Savior. There is none beside me. Look unto me, and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God, and there is none else. This portion of Scripture sheds great light on who the Savior was going to be, because there could be no other Savior besides God himself. Other scriptures that support this are Jeremiah chapter 50, verse 34, Romans chapter 9, verse 5, and 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. John chapter 1, verse 1 says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." Some of the cult say that the Word was a little G-O-D, but they are wrong, because God said that besides him, there was none other. Sin, the reason we need salvation. When Adam sinned in the Garden of Eden, it caused men to die. Romans chapter 5, verse 12 says, "Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned." When this happened, we were sentenced to death spiritually and naturally. Spiritual death is separation from God, and Jesus Christ paid that for us when he said, "Father, why hast thou forsaken me?" Or turned away and separated yourself from me. Jesus Christ, who was sinless, was separated from God the Father on behalf of our sins, that he took upon himself in taking our place, thus punishment. Jesus Christ paid the price, which enabled us to start all over in the Spirit, by faith in Jesus Christ and his sacrifice. All men, according to Psalms 51, verse 5, are born in sin and shaped in iniquity. And thus it is absolutely necessary to have a spiritual rebirth, which only comes through faith in Jesus Christ. Salvation. There are many religions that believe that God's good works are the way to heaven. Some believe that your good deeds are weighed against your bad, and whichever one is being done more will determine where you will spend eternity. This is utter nonsense. The Bible tells us that all of our righteousness, things we think we are good and right, is as filthy rags. Isaiah chapter 64, verse 6 says, "But we are all as unclean things, and all our righteousness are as filthy rags, and we all do fade as a leaf, and our iniquities, like the wind, have taken us away." What we think will give us right standing with God is not sufficient. We can only be saved by grace and not by works. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 says, "For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God." Salvation is a gift that God offers to us in the person of Jesus Christ. A person does not need to work for this free gift. They need only to believe in him, Jesus Christ, and repent of their sins. Salvation can come no other way but through Jesus Christ. There is no way around it, or no other way to the Father but by him. John chapter 14, verse 6 says, "Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. What do Christians believe about the Bible? Without going into the full history of the development of the Bible, I will state that the Bible we presently have is considered canon, considered confirmed or authorized Word of God by early church scholars. We believe the Bible to be the infallible Word of God. The Bible is composed of 66 books and is in two parts, the Old Testament and the New Testament. Many critics and skeptics claim that the Bible is not God's word, for it was written by men. Yet, although it was written by men, it was inspired and given to them by God. What about the intertestamental books called the Apocrypha? These teachings are of disputed authenticity and are not in the Protestant Bible or Hebrew canon. We do not accept these teachings as the Word of God. Who is the devil and demons? How did they come into being? What happened to create demonic beings who sought to become gods? The one true living God created everything, both angels and all creation. Yet, to be honest, he never created demonic beings. They actually are a result of rebellion against the one true living God. In reality, there was a revolt in heaven against the one true living God by a high-ranking angel called Lucifer in the Holy Bible, the book of Isaiah chapter 14, verse 12 through 17, which reads, "How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above and heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Yet thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit. They that see thee shall narrowly look upon thee and consider thee, saying, Is this the man that made the earth to tremble, that did shake kingdoms, that made the world as a wilderness, and destroyed cities thereof, that opened not the house of his prisoners? Lucifer is also called Satan, and he was a beautiful high-order angel called a cherub. In the Holy Bible, the book of Ezekiel, chapter 28, verse 12 through 19, speaks of him before he rebelled against God. It reads, "Son of man, take up a lamentation upon the king of Tyrus, and say unto him, Thus saith the Lord, Thou sealest up the sum, full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. Thou hast been in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone was thy covering, the sardius, topaz, and the diamond, the beryl, the onyx, and the jasper, the sapphire, the emerald, and the carbuncle and gold, the workmanship of thy tabrets, and of thy pipes was prepared in thee the day that thou wast created. Thou art the anointed cherub that covereth, and I have set thee so. Thou wast up on the holy mountain of God. Thou wast walk up and down in the midst of the stones of fire. Thou wast perfect in thy ways from the day that thou wast created, till iniquity was found in thee. By the multitude of thy merchandise, they have filled the midst of thee with violence, and thou hast sinned. Therefore, I will cast thee as profane out of the mountain of God, and I will destroy thee, O covering cherub, from the midst of the stones of fire. Thine heart was lifted up because of thy beauty. Thou hast corrupted thy wisdom by reason of thy brightness. I will cast thee to the ground, and I will lay thee before kings, that they may behold thee. Thou hast defiled thy sanctuaries by the multitude of thine iniquities, by the iniquity of thy traffic. Therefore will I bring thee to ashes upon the earth, in the sight of all them that behold thee, all they that know thee among the people shall be astonished at thee. Thou shalt be a terror, and never shalt thou be any more. Satan or Lucifer was an upper level angel who became prideful because of his perfection and beauty. Not only did he rebel against God, but he caused one third of all the angelic hosts to rebel with him against God. When Satan fell, he drew one third of the angels of heaven. This was probably billions of angels. In the Holy Bible, the book of the revelation of Jesus Christ, chapter 12, verse 4, we read, and his tail drew third part of the stars of heaven, and did cast them to the earth. Often in the word of God, the word star is used to represent the angels, for they shine as stars, giving off radiant light. Satan's purpose for revolt was to become a deity or God himself. And these angels were defeated by God and cast out of heaven. Satan and his angelic followers fell to earth as lightning. In the Holy Bible, the book of the Gospel of Luke, chapter 10, verse 10 through 19, Jesus said, and he said unto them, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. Behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions, and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. We know that lightning is a factor or element that is common in Earth's atmosphere. So we can deduce that Satan fell to earth. Also in the Holy Bible, the book of Genesis chapter 3 verse 1 through 5, we see Satan using a serpent to deceive and tempt mankind into disobeying God, showing us that Satan was on earth early in man's creation. We also see what Jesus Christ declared to his followers regarding authority over serpents representative of Satan, showing that Satan and his demonic host are still here. When Satan fell to earth, he probably wanted it to become his seat or throne of power. Instead, God created man and gave him dominion over the earth. This probably infuriated Satan and the multitude of fallen angels that were defeated and cast out of heaven with him. This act, as well as the fact that man was created in God's image to look like God, and the likeness made up of three parts like the triune God is, caused Satan to hate man even more and try to destroy him, or cause God to destroy them because of the technicality called sin. They tricked Adam and Eve, the first man and woman created, who are the mother and father of all races and humanity, into forfeiting or giving up their dominion through an act of disobedience, sin towards God. These fallen angelic spirits have rankings. They control territories and races of people. As man began to multiply on the earth, these fallen angelic spirits began to carry out Satan's original goal of becoming gods. These subjects or worshippers would be people who were made in God's image. Satan wanted to be above God and worshipped by God. The Gospel of Luke chapter 4, verse 5 through 7, but he could not. So he tries to get those made in God's image and likeness to worship him. Satan and these fallen angelic beings have now been damned to hell and the lake of fire because of their rebellion against the one true living God. And they try with all their power to cause man, who was again was created in the image of God, to go to hell or the lake that burns with fire, to be punished with them throughout eternity. They accomplish this by causing people of all races and creeds to worship them or reject the one true and living God. We will take a short break and come right back. We appear to be having some technical difficulties, so we will await for these hymns or the audio to be played. In the meantime, we will get back to our lessons. Are there other gods, and where do all other religions come from? No, there are no other gods. And all other religions outside of Judaism are a lie. So that brings us to the question of where do other religions come from? Satan and the other fallen angelic spirits, which we will now refer to as demonic spirits, have introduced doctrines or trains of thought to man that cause people of various races to believe lies. Satan is the father of lies. and he uses them to deceive humanity throughout the world, just as he used a lie to cause Adam and Eve to fall by saying if they disobeyed God and ate of the forbidden fruit, they would become as God. These demonic spirits introduce false religions to national groups, races of people, etc., causing these people who believe their lie to worship them as they stand behind the false doctrines, false religions, or false idols, including the worship of those who were deceived to introduce false doctrine. For example, even in the thought of reincarnation, there is a spirit that propagates this lying idea, which leads people away from the one true and living God. The Holy Bible says in the book of Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27, "And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment." This scripture clearly removes the cover of the lie of reincarnation. When we die, God does not take our spirit and soul or psyche or mind and put it in another person or animal, and then we die again and repeat the same endless pattern or cycle. If this were so, then where do these new souls, spirits come from? Continue on this spiritual journey. Our lesson for tonight, part one of what Christian believe. I pray that it was a blessing to you. If you would like more information on tonight's lesson, or you would like to request copies of previous lessons, please write to us at House of Christ Ministries, Inc., P.O. Box 30371, Helmand, New York, 11003. The Word of God is mighty and powerful, and is well able to profoundly influence your lives. When you receive Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you enter into an eternal and unbreakable covenant with God. At this time, all of His promises are available to you if you receive Him by faith. I would like to extend an invitation to you to join me on the Roman road to salvation. If you have not accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, or you had previously accepted Him and turned away from Him, He is waiting to be restored as the Lord and Master of your lives. Beloved, God created us in His own image to have an abundant life. God gave us a will and freedom of choice. We chose to disobey God and go our own sinful way, resulting in separation from God. I encourage you to turn away from the sins of the world and accept Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is standing at the door of your heart, knocking, listening, and waiting for you to make that decision. For those who are turned away from Him, tonight I am asking you to renew your commitment to Jesus Christ. Will you receive Jesus Christ right now? Romans chapter 3 verse 10 says, "As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one." 1 John chapter 1 verses 8 through 10 says, "If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make Him a liar, and His word is not in us." Romans chapter 3 verse 23 says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Romans chapter 6 verse 23 says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." Romans chapter 10 verse 9 says, "That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved." Jesus Christ said in Matthew chapter 11, verse 28, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Matthew chapter 16, verse 24, He said, "If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up the cross and follow me." If you would like to receive Jesus Christ into your life, I encourage you to join me in prayer at this moment. Heavenly Father, I come to you admitting that I am a sinner. Right now, Lord, I choose to turn away from sin, and I ask you to cleanse me of all unrighteousness. I believe that your Son, Jesus Christ, died on the cross to take away my sins. I also believe that he rose again from the dead so that I might be forgiven of my sins and made righteous through faith in him. I call upon the name of Jesus Christ to be the Savior and Lord of my life. Lord Jesus, I choose to follow you and ask that you will fill me with the power of the Holy Spirit. I declare that right now I am a child of God. I am free from sin and full of the righteousness of God. I am saved. In Jesus' name, amen. If you have prayed this prayer and receive Jesus Christ as your Savior, please contact us at House of Christ Ministries, Inc., P.O. Box 30371, Elmont, New York.
Reach out, oh, bless the name of Jesus. Listen to the appeal to reach out and touch Jesus. As he's passing your way right this very moment,
you will find he's not.
I'm talking to you, my sister. I'm talking to you, my brother. I'm talking to some mother. I'm talking to some father right now. I'm talking to that young man. I'm talking to that young woman. Jesus is passing away right now. If you just reach out and touch Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. Jesus of Nazareth is passing away. Somebody just reach out and touch Jesus
and touch
right now.
The Lord as he passes by.
You'll find him not too busy.
You will find he's not too busy to hear your heart cry.
He's passing by this moment.
He's passing by this moment.
All of your needs.
Reach out and touch the Lord.
He's passing your way. He's passing your way. Every heart, every mind, every body, every soul, right now in the name of Jesus.
Touch the Lord.
Reach out and touch Jesus. Seem to get well.
They are somewhere around.
Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. If ye love me, keep my commandments. May the grace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the love of God and the full fellowship of the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, rest, remain, and abide with you all. I'm your host, Reverend Donald Davis, thanking you for tuning in tonight and reminding you to join us every Sunday and Wednesdays at 8:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. God bless you and good night.